Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Good morning. I am so excited this week. I have all these interviews. This has been really fun for me. Today I'm being joined by Marilee Haynes. She is the author of Pictures of Me, a new middle school book out from Pauline Books and Media. Very excited about that. I'm off tomorrow and Friday on retreat. Please keep me in your prayers. I'm off to the Good Things Radio Arise retreat with Brooke Taylor, who Brooke is going to actually be a new host here at Breadbox Media after Easter. She's going to follow my show, so it's going to be kind of exciting to get to meet her live and in person. And don't miss Friday's interview. That's going to be with Sherry Boaz. That's a brand new pre-recorded interview with Sherry Boaz and her book, Billow Tail. That's a squirrel story, so you know you want to tune in to hear Squirrel Girl getting all gushy about a squirrel tale, Billow Tail with Sherry Boaz. So today, without any further ado, I invite onto the show and welcome Marilee Haynes. Marilee, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Allison.
It is such a pleasure to get to speak with you. You're the publicist over at Pauline Books and Media. Kathy Nipper has said such wonderful things about you, and she was so excited for us to have this time together. So if Kathy thinks it's going to be a good thing, I know it's going to be a good thing.
She knows I like to talk, so that's
a good point. And she knows that about me as well, so I can see why she would put us together. So I was looking, Marilee, at your bio, and I see that writing was not your first career.
No, not at all. I'm a lifelong lover of books. As a child, I was never found without a book in my hand, and always kind of toyed with the idea of writing, but just never got around to it and made the more sensible choice of getting a business degree and did that for a while, and then met my husband and had three children in very quick succession. So that kept me busy. But it was when my littlest was born very shortly thereafter. I had three kids at home under 3 and a half. And nap time was actually quiet during the day for at least 45 minutes. And I decided to go ahead and give writing a try. I had recently turned 40 and felt like I needed to do something to mark that. So I jumped right in and decided to try writing. So yes, definitely not the first thing I did.
Turning 40 is a momentous occasion. I think that trying to write a book is way better than like going to Las Vegas for a weekend. Good choice. I'm thinking the regrets for this one is not going to be quite...
No, not at all.
And so your first books were AKA Genius and Genius Under Construction, correct?
Yes. And those I just, people ask me often why I write middle school books as opposed to writing for adults. And those are the books that I first loved. Wow. And, you know, I get an idea and I kind of go with it. And I've never had an idea for an adult book. So writing for this middle grade area is what fits me best.
It was my next question. It's a very unique genre, this middle grade. I actually wrote in my notes first that middle aged. I'm like, wait a minute, talk about being 40. That's not the right word.
Middle aged writing middle grade. So it all fits together.
It does. And it's fiction. Everything you write is fiction, correct?
Yes. Yes. I've written blog posts for CatholicMom.com and have maintained a blog of my own, but nothing more than, you know, short articles here and there, nonfiction. My novels, my book length books are always fiction.
And what is your blog? I'll make sure I link that in our show notes.
It is actually resting right now.
It's taking a little vacation.
Taking a hiatus. It may start up again soon.
But do you have any archives there that people can go and read? Because sometimes people like to catch up and read stuff.
Yes, it's called mythreebeans.com.
Oh, that's so cute. I love people, the names that people come up for their blogs. How did you come up with My Three Beans?
It's reflections on motherhood, basically. Oh. Things like praying for patients and or looking for patients in the aisles of Target, you know, kind of struggling with managing things and trying to be a better mom. So, it focuses on my life as a mother, and I have three kids. So I just decided to go with that.
That's adorable. I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff there that we can glean some good advice from, for sure. Patience is the one thing I was taught very early on. I'm a revert to the Catholic faith. And it was one of the very things I was taught never to pray for, because God doesn't just give you the virtue. He gives you opportunity to practice it. And I thought, no, I'm not good at that. I just want to be better at it.
I keep being given more opportunities to practice, and I hope maybe I'm getting better.
Motherhood definitely is one of the greatest ways that we've been challenged to learn patience. Yes,
endless opportunities.
My children just help me grow in virtue. That's what they're there for. How old are your children now, if you don't mind me asking?
We just had birthdays for my February, too. I have a 9-year-old son, a 7.5-year-old daughter, and a 6-year-old daughter.
Oh, wonderful. I have a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And a 10-year-old, because God's funny. Our two oldest are biological, and we're like, oh, you know, Lord, whatever you want. You know, being Catholic and being open to life is such a blessing, but God has such a great sense of humor. So we had 10 and 7-year-old, and we thought, this is great. They're so, you know, self-sufficient, and life is just going wonderful. And then the Lord said, hey, how would you like to go to China and bring home a little girl, 3 years old, who's profoundly deaf? We said, okay. I'm sure that won't be hard at all, God.
What a wonderful thing.
Oh, thank you. In fact, one of my sons, my middle son, who's now 17, read both AKA Genius and Genius Under Construction. And so before I interviewed you today, I was hoping to get some really great feedback from him so that you and I could discuss them a little bit before moving on to Pictures of Me. Again, my guest today is Mary Lee Haynes. She's the author of Pictures of Me from Pauline Books and Media. And you know what I got from him? They're really, really good.
That sounds like a boy.
Well, we're from Boston, so he might have said they're wicked awesome. But I was like, really? I said, tell me about, like, give me, like, you were supposed to, yeah, give me something. You were homeschoolers. You're supposed to have written a report on that. Where's your report? He's like, we did an oral one, remember? I'm like, you know, I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, dude.
Funny. So, well, I'm glad he enjoyed them.
He did very much, and he's a very reluctant reader, very reluctant. And I remember he gobbled up AKA Genius, and when I mentioned that there was a second one too, he's like, oh, can you get that for me?
Oh, awesome. Well, I count in those two books, there is a lot of humor. And so that, you know, tends to hook your reluctant reader. And then, you know, there's a lot of meat to the story. So that grabs your child who wants to dig into a story as well. But no, that makes me very happy.
Yeah, he did say they were very funny. And that, you know, from a reluctant reader who has a very unusual sense of humor, that's great praise. Very, very high praise again for AKA Genius and Genius Under Construction. Those are also both offered from Pauline Books and Media. You can go to pauline.org for more on how to purchase all of the wonderful books, the young adult and the middle school books and the children's books that Pauline Books and Media have they create just great, great stuff for families and for children. And if you'd like to ask any questions to my guest today, again, it's Mary Lee Haynes, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. And so since my son was unable to give me any background, before we move on to Pictures of Me, can you just tell us a little bit about the Genius books?
Absolutely. They feature a seventh grade boy named Gabe Carpenter, who has always just kind of been trucking through life, and he discovers through the wonders of standardized testing that he's in fact a genius rather than just the regular semi-awkward smart kid that he thought he was. And this kind of sets into motion a change of other people's views of him and increased expectations and a lot of attention that is unwelcome. He's wondering how he can possibly be a genius when he is unable to open his locker. He can't talk to girls. And no matter how hard he tries, he just can't improve his basketball game at all. So we kind of follow him through the story. He gets put into a class for super smart kids that has not a lot of structure and is led by the unorthodox but completely fantastic Sister Stevie, who helps him see himself a different way. There's a lot of family in there. Kind of Gabe and his dad are on two different pages. His dad is a physical therapist and very into sports and being strong and athletic. And that is exactly where Gabe's weaknesses lie. Mm-hmm. We find out in the second book that his dad always struggled with learning. So they're just two totally different people.
Wow.
But, find a way to work things out. And St. Jude plays a huge part in the books. Gabe attends St. Jude Middle School Academy and prays to one of my favorite saints, the Saint of Lost Causes, in his moments of despair. So there's a lot of humor, a lot of friendship and family and faith woven in there as well.
I love that you have that father-son relationship in there. I think there's a lot of fathers and sons who are completely opposite, and maybe one is strong where the other one is weak, and that you have that kind of bashing of heads, but you don't really realize it until you kind of go in deeper. What a wonderful text for people to read along with their children, or to have their children kind of get that awakening that, wow, maybe dad and I are at odds because dad and I are just different, but yet we can find a common ground. I love that. Yeah. It's probably why my son liked it so much, though he and my husband are a little too much alike. We're talking
at my house too.
It's crazy. Like, oh my goodness. I'm going away this weekend and I'm kind of afraid. Last couple times I've gone away, there's videos on the internet of them blowing things up in the backyard. Once they blew up soap in the microwave. I'm like, really?
I have done that experiment. That's really cool.
It is a very cool experiment, but I've never smelt something so horrendous. Ivory soap, microwave, gross, cool visual, disgusting smell. We are talking this morning with Marilee Haynes. She is the author of Pictures of Me, Pauline Books and Media. I hope you stay tuned. We have a lot more to discuss this morning. And you're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm talking this morning with Marilee Haynes. She's the author of Pictures of Me. That's like an easy word. I don't know why I got that one wrong. Pauline Books and Media. If you'd like to join our conversation, we invite you on at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. And here's something really exciting about that number. You can now text on it. So if you're somebody who's always sitting there with a question but is a little intimidated by the thought of being on live radio, you can now text your questions right to us here at the station at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. And you can always go over to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. I am checking there between the breaks, always on there looking. I've been trying to make it a more interactive Facebook page. So I hope that you will spend some time there and give me some ideas of what you'd like me to be posting and questions that you have or books you'd like to see us cover. It's really not just about me talking into a microphone. It's about you and I getting to know each other and helping to answer our questions on the spiritual journey that the Lord has put us on. Today, we are talking about Pictures of Me. It's middle school. I'm going to start saying middle age, middle grade fiction book out from Pauline Books in Media, Pictures of Me, Marilee Haynes. Marilee, before we went to break, you were talking about St. Jude, one of my favorites too, the Saint of Lost Causes. I spend a lot of time with St. Anthony as well.
Oh, yes.
Actually, last night, my son is 20 and he works at Staples. I'm 3 minutes down the road. And he sends me a text at 11 o'clock at night saying he had to work till midnight. I lost my keys at work. You might have to bring me my spare. Well, by that time, I'm already cozied up in my jammies, wishing I had put the phone really far away from me. But I started to pray to St. Anthony. I'm like, look for another hour. If you haven't found them, I'll come get you. but I'm going to start praying to St. Anthony. Like 2 seconds later, ooh, just found them. Yay.
St. Anthony always works.
He does. Well, so obviously if you're praying to saints, you must be a Catholic.
Yes, born and bred.
And so how does your faith influence your writing? Or does it?
I've been asked many times why I write Catholic children's fiction. And my semi-ridiculous answer is I didn't intend to necessarily when I started. It's just so much a part of who I am that my characters couldn't not be Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
My faith is just woven into my stories because it's woven into who I am. And therefore, when I write characters, it just ends up being woven into who they are as well. It was not intentional at the beginning.
Which makes them an even better character for children to relate to, because that's what our faith should be. It shouldn't be this separate part of who we are. It should be an integral part of who we are in all that we do. And I did love that about your characters in Pictures of Me. I have to be honest, I've not read AKA Genius, though I have to now because during the break, I'm going to out it. Sorry, I have to. You didn't say I couldn't say it, but good. Mary Lee was telling me during the break that perhaps why my reluctant reader was so into the AKA Genius book or the other one was called Genius
Under Construction.
Thank you. I had turned the page and lost my notes. That there is a lot of bodily function humor in it. And I have to say that my inner 12-year-old boy totally wants to read that now.
It appeals to all 12-year-olds or inner 12-year-olds. My husband laughed himself into tears several times as I was working on both of the books.
I love that. I was speaking yesterday to someone who was a young adult author. And I have to say that sometimes I do enjoy reading something that's not meant for an adult audience. Right. It's still good reading. It's still good writing. And I would probably, again, find myself laughing myself silly. I know exactly where these two books are on the shelf. So I might be pulling those off very soon. Keep an eye on my blog. I think I might actually blog about them. It's reconciledtoyou.com. I love writing book reviews. So I'm making a note right now to do that.
Very good.
I know Kathy will keep me to it.
Yes.
So, Mary Lee, tell us a little bit about the plot of Pictures of Me.
Pictures of Me is the main character is a girl named Annie, and Annie is in fifth grade and coming to the end of fifth grade. And she is perfectly awkward in all of her 11-year-old wonder, unsure about herself, shy in some ways, hesitant in a lot of ways, and is presented with the end of fifth grade project that her school, St. Joseph's, has had a tradition of having an end of year fifth grade project, the fifth farewell, they call it, because they actually leave their K-5 Catholic school to move to a Catholic middle school that's all the way on the other side of the parking lot, and yet somehow a big transition for them. And this project is typically in past years has been something to do with writing, whether it's a paper or writing, an interview with somebody who inspired you while you were at this school. And Annie's very comfortable in that world of words. Mm. So she is thrown for a major loop when this year's project is a self-portrait that one has to interpret whatever that means to them and then present it to the class. And it's the presenting it to the class thing that's really problematic because Annie is still trying to recover from a horrifyingly embarrassing incident in second grade when she stood up in front of the class.
That was pretty funny, by the way. I think it's everybody's worst nightmare, and I love that you made it an actual thing for her.
And it's funny how different kids react to that. And for the benefit of your audience, Annie stood up in front of the class to present something and got so nervous that she lost control of her bladder and there was a puddle on the floor. And the two mean girls that feature in this book will not let her forget it. And her nickname, just to the two of them, has been Puddles ever since second grade. So you can imagine when Annie hears that standing up in front of the class and presenting something that is basically supposed to be bearing your soul to a certain extent, she is struck dumb with horror and then some. But a lot of kids, my daughter's class, her second grade teacher read the book to the class. And Sarah came home and told me that some of the kids laughed when they read the part where Annie had her accident in second grade. And my Sarah has a very tender heart, and she was completely horrified and so upset that this had happened to Annie and that some people thought it was funny, because it certainly isn't.
Oh, so sweet.
It's just, it's interesting to see how different kids can react to the exact same scene in the exact same book.
And it's really a realistic portrait of kids who will hold on to something. Even as adults, it made me think of this really silly example, but when my first friend had their child, I was pretty much kind of clueless about children and what they did and what happens to them. And so she had me like holding his little hands. He's about 9 months old. And after a few minutes, I got kind of a little bored. And I was like, oh, I'll just let him go and let him walk off. Well, 9 months olds don't walk off. He landed on his little bum. Like, I caught him before he got hurt. But this was about 27, 30 years ago. She still gives me a hard time about it. Like, really? Remember that time you let Matthew fall? I did not let Matthew fall. Like, he's fine. He's graduated college. It didn't hurt him too badly. But
maybe
like,
turned out well.
Maybe I helped him. I rattled something in his brain. How do you know it wasn't beneficial? But how people will take that one little mistake that you make and just never let you live it down, or that little embarrassing moment of your life.
Exactly. It makes you think that changing schools might not be a bad idea every once in a while when you're a kid. She's been with those, and poor Annie has been with those people forever.
You know, the beauty and the kind of the curse of Catholic schools, that small school feel, is that those kids are with you, and usually it's a one class grade.
Right.
So it's not even like, you could be in another classroom. You are stuck with them. Do your children go to public school or Catholic school?
They go to Catholic school. They go to a slightly larger class, Catholic school. There are three classes per grade, but it's still, they still manage to all know each other very well, very quickly.
Yeah, my class had 300 and something kids in it. So, it was a regional. So we had two smaller schools, which was still not too small, 150, 170 kids. And then we merged with a neighboring town. So my graduating class, I think for some reason, I actually remember the number of 318. I don't know why. That's probably because I graduated like 316 or something. That's not completely true, but not completely false. So you have a lot of different themes that run through this book. Can you elaborate on one of or two of them that you really feel that people would be drawn to?
Friendship is a big one. What I talk with my kids a lot about, you know, just explaining what a friend is, because I feel like, especially now in our society, the word friend has become so skewed. You know, you're friends with 900 people on Facebook, or my daughter's kindergarten teacher refers to everyone in the class as friends, you know, our 25 friends. So I think kids can get confused about what an actual true friend is. Mm-hmm. So I love the portrait of Annie and Taylor's friendship, that even when there are bumps in the road, you have that friend or those couple of friends that you can absolutely count on no matter what. Mm. And then, you know, there are also some friendship troubles and working through that, and what to do when a friend takes you by surprise in a completely bad way, and, you know, forgiveness, and but all within those boundaries of a good, solid friendship of your childhood.
I'd like to dig a little deeper into that after we come back from these messages. I actually have notes all over my page here about the friendship, the foundation that you that kind of fragile foundation in middle school that gets set up. And a lot of the stuff that happens when we're in middle school really is kind of the same stuff we're going to face. High school, college, today, middle age. Like, it's kind of interesting how that all continues. Exactly. Yeah. We're going to pick up with that after these messages. I'm talking this morning with Marilee Haynes. She is the author of Pictures of Me. It's a wonderful new book out from Pauline Books and Media. It is for your 9 to 11-year-old middle school child. But let me tell you, I learned an awful lot reading this book today. I'm excited to share it with my own middle school child. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media, and we'll be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking this morning with Merrilee Haynes. She is the author of Pictures of Me, Pauline Books and Media. If you'd like to join our conversation, we invite you on at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. As I've been saying all week, I'm going to be off tomorrow and Friday, off on an adventure to Ohio for retreat. Please keep me in your prayers. If you have any prayer requests, be sure to send them over because I will bringing those with me on retreat. You can email me at allison@breadboxmedia.com. Or message me at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox, on Facebook, not on Breadbox, on Facebook. And on Friday, don't miss the brand new interview with Sherry Boaz. We had such a great time talking about her adorable yet very insightful and rich, really, read of Billow Tale. That's out from Caritas Press, and it's a squirrel tale. Gotta love those squirrels. Merrilee, I'm kind of known as the squirrel girl, because I've got kind of an obsession with squirrels. I didn't start it on my own. I have ADHD, and a friend of mine posted on my Facebook wall about 4 years ago the little short from Up where they have the dog and the squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. She thought that was funny because it's me, pretty much. Me, definitely me. So it got so much traction, I thought it'd be funny to put up another squirrel picture a few days later before I knew it. I was a squirrel girl, and it's just kind of stuck. It was a thing. And when I saw a book about a squirrel, I'm like, oh, a Catholic squirrel. I need to talk about this.
That's right. I have a squirrel tale that has been rattling around in my head that my son and I are semi-planning.
Mm.
A squirrel named Stuart Knutson and his family.
Oh my gosh, I'm in. As soon as you're, I'll book you. Like, you're on. I cannot even imagine. That makes me just excited just to hear. Totally, I'm going to be behind you 100%. That's my prayer request I'm taking with me from you, Merrilee. I'm going to be praying for your squirrel tail to come from your brain into a book. I love it. So we were talking about friendship before we went to break. And I wrote so many notes about that. Like, you show the fragile foundation that friendships can be balanced upon, middle school friendships in particular. I think that's such a difficult age. But I'm also seeing that doesn't change too much. Like, my son is 17 years old. He's had a birthday party this past Saturday. 17. His friends are all 16, 17. And there's still drama. There's still the backstabbing. There's still the, we're friends now, but, you know, well, this person's more popular, so, you know, I'm going to be friends with them today and not you, and all that insecurity. And so why create such a great venue of a vignette of friendship? What are you hoping that people will get from studying or reading that?
To really recognize, especially as kids, what a true friend is. Mm-hmm. I see so many kids who, and typically it comes from a place of insecurity inside, who are chasing that, you know, the, one of my good friends, who's such a fantastic mom, she calls them the shiny girls, you know, that you're chasing the shiny girls rather than, you know, really building those good, solid friendships. And I always talk to my own kids, and especially, you know, they're in third, second, and kindergarten this year. We talk about friends you can count on, which doesn't mean that you're never going to have a falling out. It doesn't mean that you're never going to disagree or that there might not be hurt feelings, because that's just going to happen. But that, you know, this is somebody you can count on. This isn't somebody who's going to want to sit next to you at lunch one day and the next day look at you like you're a toad if you sit down next to them. Right, as they get slightly older, you know, to chase that, oh, this person seems to have more friends or more things or better shoes or whatever the case might be, and I'm going to go be friends with that person and leave you behind.
Mm-hmm.
Friendships are transitional, but to always be able to recognize, and recognize in yourself, am I a good friend?
Mm-hmm.
Am I being a good, true friend, in the way that I'm raised and what my values are telling me and what my faith is telling me? you know, kids know what the right thing to do is.
Yeah, they do.
Don't always do it, and neither do adults. But you're right. I mean, I see a lot of things even amongst the mom groups where a lot of those same behaviors are happening. Oh. One thing that I really wanted to highlight was the character of Lacey, who comes to their school almost at the end of the school year. She's been forced to move against her will. Angry. She's got a lot going on. She and her mom moved and her dad didn't, and nobody's really being honest with her about why that happened. So Annie and Taylor befriend her, Annie more willingly than Taylor, and end up getting crushed by her, because then she does turn and follow the shinier girls, the two mean girls, Max and Madison, and kind of, you know, being that feeling of being blindsided by someone. I thought you were my friend.
Yeah.
Is a feeling that I think everybody, regardless of your age or gender, can relate to. You know, wow, I thought you were my friend, and look what you just did.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how you can kind of recover from that.
I love the line in the book talking about those shiny girls. You write, Annie's actually the one saying this, but she's reflecting, why they are popular is a mystery. That really struck with me, because that is often a time where you look at, like, what makes some people more popular, or other people drawn to them more than others, when each of us is made in God's likeness and image, and we all have goodness and something to offer. And usually those shiny girls are the mean ones.
Yes. Well, and they're the girls who've realized that they have power and they're not using it for good. Yeah. You know, that's what I've talked to my own daughter about. You know what, if you don't give them any attention, you kind of take that power away. You know, if the nice kids as a group can decide, you know what, we're just not going to react. You know, you can kind of, at least to a certain extent, take that power away, or at least take away that person's power over you personally.
You give a great insight too, a little later on in the book, when we see, I think it's Madison who goes for remedial help.
Yes.
And you start to see a little insight into, like, her brokenness. And I've found that with many people who are bullies, or who, you know, kind of put on that air of, I'm better than you are. There's always like this brokenness that they're trying to hide.
Yes.
By their behavior. And I think it's hard for a middle school kid to look at and go, oh, look, they're just embarrassed, or they're trying to hide something. No, they're like, oh, no, they're just being mean to me.
Right.
I don't like that.
And right. Because Madison struggles in school, and in her way of making sure nobody makes fun of her is to be put herself on the offensive first, rather than giving anybody a chance to say anything to her. She makes sure that she puts the daggers out there first.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, my daughter and I had an interesting conversation a couple of years ago. She just has been graced with a pure and wonderful little heart that amazes me daily. And we watched Cinderella, and she was so upset about why were the stepsisters so mean to Cinderella. She could not wrap her brain about why would anyone act like that.
I've seen a theme running here with her.
Exactly, yes.
So sweet.
Yes,
so sweet.
We struggle with that, but why? And so, I finally came up with something that I was then proud of later. And I said, honey, they don't like themselves. Like, this doesn't have anything to do with Cinderella. This has to do with them not liking or being happy with themselves. So, you know, their reaction to that is to be mean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the whole thing with, you know, that's the thing with Madison. Addison is just one of those girls who will do what anybody else tells her to do, which I always pray daily that none of my kids ever turns into. But, you know, Madison, it's very much that I'm not happy about myself, so I'm going to lash out at other people.
And I thought that Annie has another line that's just very astute, when she says, nobody cares really if you need extra help. If you need it, just get it. Of course, I'm paraphrasing, but I thought that was really, I think that's going to be so empowering for somebody reading that book. Being like, hey, yeah, that's right. If I need it, I need it. Who cares? Or somebody who maybe looks down on somebody else who needs it, whether you're the one who needs it or the one looking at another person and making judgment. I think those are really powerful words. Insightful.
And part of my background, I also work with, I used to run a learning center for kids with learning challenges before we moved to North Carolina, and I am back into tutoring now. So I work with a lot of kids who do struggle. And, you know, one of the biggest things, one of the biggest roadblocks we have to get through is not believing that you're smart just because you need help with a certain thing. And, you know, kind of gaining that confidence and in needing extra help doesn't, is not a negative reflection on you in any way. So that's definitely where part of that came in.
Well, it shows. It definitely reflects in your writing. So I have a question for you. Only have 2 minutes before the segment ends, but is there any of these characters that you can personally relate to?
A lot of Annie. I would say Annie and Taylor. I was always a kid who kept things kind of close to the vest, even though I got in trouble a lot for talking in school. was also in certain situations quite bold. And I would say even Lacey, because I had a little bit of a temper when I was a kid that I sometimes had a knee-jerk reaction to things. So I would say kind of a compilation. Certainly not autobiographically by any stretch of the imagination, but there's definitely, and I mean, just being a complete word nerd, and that's me all over the place. I love words.
Oh, me too. In fact, I want you to think during this break, what is your favorite word? Because that's one of the questions. I love the discussion questions at the end. We're going to talk about the format of the book when we come back from these messages. And I had so much fun answering these discussion questions myself. And one of them was, like, what is your favorite word? I'm a word girl, squirrel girl, and a word girl. So I totally get that. We're talking this morning with Merrily Haynes. She is the author of Pictures of Me, middle school book, new offering from Pauline Books and Media. You can go to pauline.org for more information on how to purchase this book or on the other books. Merrily has 2 other books. If you have a reluctant reader, I cannot recommend AKA Genius enough. We're going to be picking up after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're joined this morning by Merrily Haynes. She's the author of Pictures of Me, out from Pauline Books and Media. To learn more, go to pauline.org. I will obviously have the show notes after this at the podcast over on podbean.breadbox.com or breadboxmedia.podbean.com. There it is. I knew I'd get it out eventually. And I will have all the links to everything we've talked about. You can check out all the wonderful books from Merrily. And if you have any questions, you still have time. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can either text those or call in. At the end of the last segment, I was talking about the discussion questions at the back. Well, first I'd like to ask, how do you see what kind of advice would you have for parents who might want to use this book with their children?
I would just say, you know, I'm a firm believer in reading with your kids even long after they're able to read independently. Mm-hmm. My 9-year-old is a very strong and very enthusiastic reader, and either my husband or I still read with him every night.
Oh my gosh, I love
and
that.
It just, you know, it gives the opportunity to have these good conversations and things that come up in the book in areas where, you know, there might not be the understanding or just something really interesting to talk about. And I think in this book, especially for mothers and daughters, we talked about friendship being a big theme. The mother-daughter relationship is another big theme in this book. And you see 4 very different mother-daughter relationships, and just being able to kind of talk through those things with your daughter, being very useful.
That's wonderful.
Just, you know, just kind of, it's very much a slice of life of really what kids are going through. And I think, you know, it's the opportunity to kind of dig into, you know, what are there any kids at your school that are you know, being unkind to you and maybe that hasn't come up yet? Or, you know, why do you think that might be? Or how do you think you could handle that? Those kinds of things.
I'm such a big proponent of how books can launch conversation. I use them spiritual reading I have a Bible study book club that comes here every Monday and the discussions that come when you're reading something. And it just seems, you know, so innocuous when you're first reading it. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit starts to revolve and get involved. And you start realizing that, no, the Lord's speaking to me through this. It seems like that couldn't happen. It's a fiction book. But the Holy Spirit really does speak through all means. And I love that you have this great vehicle, truly great vehicle for mothers and daughters to come together. You also spoke about how your daughter's teacher used it in her classroom.
Right. It was one of those moments where I was like, what did I just do? Because I just donated a book to each of my older two children's classrooms. Just, oh, here, it's a gift from me for your classroom library. And then my Sarah came home and she said, oh, Mrs. Modzelewski is reading pictures of me to the whole class. Like the blood left my face. I was like, what? I volunteer at their school multiple times a week. So, you know, the thought of 27 of my favorite little second graders potentially judging what I wrote was kind of shocking. But it ended up turning out wonderfully. And they actually had me in for an author visit. So I came and talked to the class. And I get, like I said, I'm there regularly. They all know me very well. And I came in and you would have thought I was a rock star, like that they'd never met. They were so excited and they had their little questions prepared and had a really great conversation. And they all want me to write a book about their class now. And
oh, that's so sweet. Now, see, in second grade, your kids still think it's awesome when you come in and, yes. and address the kids. Mine are now 17 and 20. And if I even show into the room when their friends are over, I get the eye roll and the, please don't make a joke, Mom. Please don't right. even ask us how we're doing. You're no longer cool. Get out.
No, I'm milking this time for all it's worth.
That is so wonderful. And the book is actually, at the end of it, there are discussion questions and word collection. I my little educational loving heart was just all a flutter. So I thought it would be kind of fun in our, you know, the final few minutes we have here together this morning. I'm talking with Marilee Haynes. She is the author of Pictures of Me, Pauline Books and Media, pauline.org for more information. I thought it'd be kind of fun, Marilee, if you want to play along, to answer a few of the questions, not the hardball ones, just the fun, easy ones. So I kind of alluded to the one I wanted to ask first was, what is your favorite word?
I literally don't know that I could even pick just one. Back when I was little, I remember I used to read all the time on my own and use really, I was a devotee of phonics because I was taught by nuns and that's how you learn how to read. And the word picturesque, which I mispronounced it as a child as picture skew. But to me, that word has just always really like said what it means. You know, any word that really feels like what it means. I love the word picturesque. I love the word effervescent. I love onomatopoeia, both the word and the category of words, which
love
about a lot.
Love that word.
Know, and then silly words like, you know, spelunk. We were talking about that the other day. The kids and I have these kinds of conversations.
I was just going to say, we used to have a dinner conversation, which who could come up with the word that would make us laugh the hardest? Like who can get milk out their nose just by saying one word?
And mine would be nincompoop, and every time.
See, my inner 12-year-old still finds that funny. Nincompoop, that's a great word.
So, yes, we do things like that. I love the written word, and I love what words can do. You know, my son's writing, he was doing an assignment just last night, and he was writing an interview with the character from James and the Giant Peach by Roald Dahl. Mm-hmm. And he was saying something about, you know, something scurried across the room. And I just said, Charlie, I said, I love that verb. Like, that's such an awesome, perfect verb. So we talk about strength of words and, you know, using the right word in the right situation and how that can really impact, you know, what you're writing, what your readers hear, or even somebody you're talking to.
It's funny that you mentioned Roald Dahl because one of the last books that I read out loud with my children was we got the book Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and actually read it. And it's so much better than the movies. Like, yes. It was one of those things. I grew up with it. I didn't even realize it was a book until I was a homeschooling adult. And we were at the library and I saw it and I said, boys, let's just, you know, let's read this. It's such an amazing, but again, he is a word master as you are as well.
And my husband and my daughter finished that book just last night.
So oh, no kidding. You do just, oh, such a a great gift to be able to take words and create images in your head. One of my favorites, kind of ironically, is neologism, which means to create new words. So I'm always like making up my own words. Like I have the word godsidence, which is
I like that one.
People say God incidence, but I'm thinking, no, that's not, it doesn't roll enough. I like godsidence.
I may steal that myself.
I love creating new words, and I like silly words like bomb diggity.
There you go.
I think that's such a fun word. And juxtaposition.
Juxtaposition is awesome.
But and when you get to use it in a sentence, you're like, yeah, I get extra points for today because I used a big word.
I'm a word rock star.
Exactly. One of the other questions that kind of I was thought was interesting was, is everyone is afraid of something. Yes. Summarily, what are you afraid of?
Oh, goodness. Well, ironically, I'm tall and I am afraid of heights.
That's great.
I am deathly afraid of snakes, rodents, big spiders, things like that. And then since I became a mother, I have a deathly and ongoing and never ever present fear of something bad happening to my children.
I think that's in every mom's heart somewhere. Like I remember crawling, my son was born premature and there was always that fear of, you know, the SIDS. And so I would crawl into his room like every night and put my finger under his nose. And even like as a teenager, sometimes I would still do that. And he'd be like, Mom, get out of my room.
Like, I'm just checking on you.
That's what mom does. You look so peaceful. So, yep.
That is mom thing.
I am totally there with you. The spiders, the snakes. And my house was struck by lightning when I was 9 years old. So I have this ridiculous fear of thunderstorms. It was fine. It didn't burn to the ground. It was back in the day where you had the antennas that would hook up to
Yes.
And then you would have that rotary thing on top of your television to turn the... Yeah. So it struck the antenna, went through, and then blew off the rotary thing across the room. Wow. So that was fascinating. But now that I know that lightning makes connections to things, I never wanted to move out of the house because lightning doesn't strike twice. Like that's the, you know, the adage. I'm like, well, I couldn't live here forever because it's never going to happen again. That's not what happened. Not at all. So as we're kind of winding down in our time together, is there anything about the book? Again, we're talking with Marilee Haynes. She's the author of Pictures of Me. Is there anything about the book you'd like for us to be left thinking about?
One important thing that I and the kids were asking me, why did Taylor's little brother have autism? Why did I write a character that had autism? And I used to work with a lot of kids who were on the spectrum, and I always really felt for the sibling. They're just kind of asked to kind of go along with a lot and support a lot and understand a lot. And I felt like that was an important part of who Taylor was, that she had this little brother who was a challenge to her, but who God sent to her for a reason to love and for her to learn from and her to grow. So Zach was there very, very purposefully and is a very important character, even though he's not on a lot of pages.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is a beautiful thought to end with. Marilee, I've so enjoyed this morning speaking with you.
I have as well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I look forward to more books from you. I'm sure I will not miss a single one because I'm going to be following you as I can at Pauline.org. And I will definitely be hooking up to your website, which is my3beans.com. And I hope it doesn't rest very long because you obviously have a lot of wonderful things to share.
Thank you so much.
Don't miss Friday's interview with Sherry Boaz, Billow Tale from Caritas Press, A Squirrel Tale. Oh my goodness, we had so much fun talking about this book. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on BreadBox Media.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.